Good morning out there in Radio Land. We are back here on this Thursday, June the 13th. And it is a wonderful day to talk about the Lord, put Him first, get into some Bible study, Bible questions, and just spend time in His presence. So we're thankful to be back here with you this morning. It's me and Greg. We've done it before. Pastor Aaron isn't with us. We miss him as always, and we got Roger in the producing room. So there's no telling what this morning holds, the future holds this morning. But how are you doing, Greg?
Well, I'm doing just fine. I almost said Brother Aaron because that's what I normally say, but I'm doing just fine.
I know. When something is different, it's hard to get used to.
Yeah,
it's like muscle memory.
Yeah,
muscle memory there.
Throws you off.
Yep. Well, good.
How you doing, Roger? Let's hear it, Roger. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, Brother.
He almost said it, didn't he? He almost said
it. He might have done that on purpose.
Yeah.
Brother Aaron.
Yeah.
Well, so to anybody who's listening already this morning, and I know that there's several because I really like it. So we have some listeners that if we're even like a few minutes late, mm-hmm. then they notice and they want to make sure everything's okay, with the broadcast and everything. And I just love that because I feel like even if we, if something's going on, then our listeners have our back because they're like, okay, what's going on? Which you know that, Greg, because you're probably one of those listeners.
Yeah.
But anyways, so if you all want to interact this morning, again, Pastor Aaron is not here with us this morning. He had to help a family member out. So you can text me at 270-589-7933. So some of you have my number already. If you need to ask that number again, you can call Roger and I can probably... You want to write my number down, Roger, just in case somebody asks you for it? Write my number down. It's 270-589-7933. I'll get it to him just in case. But it's just easy to have texts come in that way because it makes the interaction just so much better. And it's a lot quicker than getting phone calls. So, but we will get into our announcements. Let's see here. We have several VBS announcements. But we will start with the Zach Capps Tent Revival is still going on, to my knowledge, until Saturday. I've heard great things from it. We really enjoyed our interview with Zach yesterday, and I love it because, it was a joy for us to get to know him. But he was in here a little bit early before his interview, and he heard us talking about eschatology. So when he got in here, he said, well, I was hoping you all would be asking me some Bible questions. we really enjoyed that, and Brother Josh coming in here as well. And we're just supportive of what they're doing there at the tent ministry.
I've been over there every night.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good.
Wow.
Yeah. A little cooler for a few nights,
but
he's very knowledgeable.
Yes.
Well, I got to hear bits and pieces where I was at. I didn't get to, I kind of caught his background and heard him got to hear him quote some, I think it might have been, I can't remember what I quoted, but anyway, so yeah, I got to hear bits and pieces of it, and it sounded, I was real interested, wishing I could hear it all, but I was just so busy with everything I had, and then didn't have good service, and my stops was close together, so it didn't work out for me. So
well, if you get any time today on your routes, then it is on the podcast, there on the app. What I've been doing, actually, on the podcast, for anybody who doesn't know about the podcast, it's on our new app. Many of you have that app, and if you need any help downloading our new app, you can always call the station, and I can, if I don't answer during the broadcast, I can call you back and walk you through it. But it has a little tab for podcasts, and then you go to Mornings with Box 2 Radio. And I've been putting the interview separate so it's easier to find. And then also put the home morning on there too. So like for yesterday, it says Wednesday morning with Box 2 Radio, 6/12/24. And then the interview is right there above it, interview with Evangelist Zach Capps.
Okay.
So it is on there, and it was just good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed his testimony of the Lord speaking to him audibly, and, you know, the fruit was there.
Yeah.
You know, you hear some testimonies, and maybe the fruit's not always there, but, you know, whenever someone is strong in their word and they're speaking things that are in alignment with the word of God, and there's that witness in the spirit there, it's just a joy to see the fruit in somebody's life, and especially at such a young age. You know, I usually feel like the youngin around here, but I believe he was 23, so he's got me beat on the young game. I'm 24, gonna be 25, so but I just love to see young people on fire for Jesus. And
How'd you get so old, Hannah?
I don't know.
25 years old, man.
I don't know.
What happened to you?
I honestly would have thought that this man was older than me, but it was just cool. So, well, some of our other announcements. So again, that's at 7 p.m. if you want to go to that tent meeting. And it is, again, it's not right by the road, but you kind of look down the hill, and it's across the street from Grayson Manor there in an open area there. So you will see it if you drive out that way. So our other announcements, we do have Jason Miller preaching at Madrid. He'll be there at Madrid Pentecostal Church on Sunday, June the 23rd, preaching at 6 p.m.
Is this a new thing for Jason?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering about that.
He said he used to not let people say that he was preaching. He would only let them say he was teaching.
Yeah.
But now he lets people say that he's preaching. So I guess he was very...
he must be growing up on us. Must be growing up. Little fella's growing up. I hope he's listening. He's teasing.
Yep. And I know Brother Lance Johnson is going to be at Madrid as well. But I believe Pastor Aaron has that date. And we don't have it written down from Brother Josh. But we'll get that as soon as possible, just to keep you all updated on when you can go out and see Brother Lance, worship with him, and hear a solid word. And then also the VBSs. So Bethel VBS, Breaker Rock Beach. It's the event is on our app. And if you want to register, we have that link. All you do is just click register now on our app. Or you can go to Heather Wilson's Facebook, and she shared that link as well. But that is July the 23rd through July the 27th. And I love the theme for this year. It's standing firm on God's word. And that's why it's Breaker Rock Beach, because the solid rock is what we stand on. And that's Jesus and his word. So that's the theme for this year. It's going to be a Monday through Friday. That's from 6 to 8:30 nightly. And then Saturday will be the last day of the VBS. And that one will be 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. So, and registration will start at 5:30 on those nights as well. And then... we also have some other VBS announcements. We have one at Kingdom First. That theirs is July the 8th through the 12th from 6 to 8 p.m., kindergarten through 12th grade. And theirs is Twists and Turns. Psalms 25:4 is their theme. So that's there in Caneyville. At the old where the old IGA building was, beside the pharmacy. And then also there's Camp Awaken at Kingswood Wesleyan Church. And this is their theme is Awaken. And so that one will be June the 24th from 5 to 8 p.m. to June the 27th. So that one's coming up real soon in Harned, Kentucky. So those are all the VBS announcements we have so far. If anybody else has some they would want to get to us, you can email it to us, studio1@box2radio.com, or you can send it to us on our Facebook page. So that's everything. Do you have any announcements, Roger or Greg?
I'm out. I don't have no.
I know you normally don't,
yeah.
Greg.
Yeah. I don't guess Roger's got any announcements either.
Listeners, yeah. if there's anything else, just let us know. You can text me again, 270-589-7933. So we're going to jump into James. How about that?
This is a good book here. You know, it's like I guess a lot of people calls it the Proverbs of the New Testament, you know.
I could definitely see that.
Yeah, the Proverbs of the New Testament. That, you know, it's just a lot of wisdom in this book here.
Yeah, a lot of practical knowledge.
And here's the thing, too. This is James. Is this did we establish which James this is?
Jesus' brother, yeah.
All right, and I cannot remember who was talking about it, but James did not believe who Jesus was until the resurrection. Did we talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, and we talked about the challenges, too, that, you know, for one, that it was most likely a challenge for your brother to be the Son of God.
Yeah.
I mean, to be chosen and to be holy, you know.
Yeah.
That's something that the carnal mind can't understand, and you know that brotherly rivalry gets in the way sometimes, and jealousy, and we talked about that. But then we also talked about, you know, once his brothers came to believe, and even after he's gone, they're still serving him, they're still honoring the Lord, and we talked about the humility that takes, but also how that confirms Jesus even more, because it's not likely for someone's siblings to be doing that. That and people that are at home know you the most.
Yeah.
They see all the different sides of you, and so to see a family that's still serving and doing the will of the Lord, and that actually got to live with Jesus, that confirms even more how perfect and true he is.
And this is the reason I was bringing this up, is because I'm sure there's a lot out here that's going to relate to this, but you know, they come from a background, you know, that's not in church, you know, and their family members at all are not in church, you know, and you grew up with them doing the things that you all did, but we did, I'm just gonna put myself in that, you know, but then you become born again, you meet the Lord, and he changes you. Well, they all know you from who you was, you know, and because they're carnal, they can't understand who you are becoming, you know. So like James here, you know, they will come around, but we have to hold on to the Lord, you know. We have to do what he'd have us do and walk in his ways, and his ways will shine through, you know. It's not the things that we do. It's what he does in us, you know, and allow the Lord to work in us, and they will come around. But some are hard, you know. Some family members that, you know, they be real tough, you know. And, I'm speaking to somebody, I'm sure, you know, that's that. And for me, whenever I was born again, I wanted to tell everybody about it. Well, everybody I wanted to tell about it didn't want to hear about it. You know, and it's it can be disheartening, you know, and if, you know, when you're young in the Lord, you still got issues yourself that he's got to fix in you, you know. So it can be discouraging to a young believer. And if there's any young believers out there right now that's being discouraged in this way, you know, just keep pressing on. Just keep, you know, living for the Lord at the, you know, and doing whatever it is that he has showed you to do. And it may just be something little right now. You may not have a full understanding of what's going on, but just trust the Lord that he's working on you, because he is. He that began a good work in you will perform it till the day of Christ Jesus. So if you're out there and you got siblings, you have family members that just don't believe because they know who you was. Well, same thing happened to Jesus. But, you know, Jesus says, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So,
amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good. And yep. I can't remember who it was, but somebody was bringing up the point the other day that, you know, the Lord, I think it might have been one of our guests. Or, nope, I think it was actually Brother Zach. He was talking about to do the thing that the Lord's given you, and that sometimes we want to not do the thing, the first thing that the Lord's given us, and we want to try to do jump ahead of the Lord.
Yeah.
And he talked
like,
about
I'm past that, Lord. Give me something. Give me a bigger task.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And he talked about how keep doing the thing that he's given you to do, and he will keep giving you more things after you're faithful in that thing. And I think that, you know, that's something that we all know, but I think it's something to remind ourselves of. And it spoke to me because as a younger person, even I may have been a believer, but I think this last season of my, you know, post-college is when I've really started to grow the most in my walk with the Lord. And as a young person, I notice with the other ones my age, like, we tend to fall into that, like, zeal of we just want to tackle everything. Like, we just want to, we want to be wherever God, like, we want to already be at the destination.
Yeah.
And it's like,
fast forward through all the hard stuff and just get me to the finish.
Yes. And sometimes we view things as not as important that he gives us right now. And I'm thankful that anything that the Lord gives us is very important.
Yeah.
And, you know, just because somebody else is in a different season and they have a different task doesn't make it better than our task. It just is different, and they are just at a different point in their walk. And I'm thankful for that. And so I like that. It reminded what you were talking about, Greg, had reminded me of that. But we are in verse 5. We haven't gotten far, but it's okay because this book is shorter and it's really good. So verse 5 reads, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed." So I think we should stop there and talk about those two verses. I did not previously look up the word upbraideth, but I'm not sure. He gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not.
Doesn't hold back.
Doesn't hold it. That's
Yeah, it just doesn't hold it back. Yeah.
Doesn't hoard it up. It'll be freely given to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that that's important, and that's something that we do need to remember, is that, you know, there are certain things that the Lord isn't just going to give to us immediately, that it's kind of like that task thing we were talking about. It's going to be a process before we get certain things.
Yep.
But I love that wisdom is something that the Lord, it's saying, I mean, he gives it, he's willing to pour it out.
And the thing about wisdom, I want people that want to share this with everybody, what the Lord showed me about wisdom. This is recent, you know, this is you know, like, let's he taught me this through Solomon. Okay, Solomon was wise. He prayed for wisdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Solomon really made some boneheaded decisions, you know what I'm saying? He really messed up. Well, in order to be wise, I don't think you can be wise without experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can know a lot of things, you know, and have a lot of knowledge, but wisdom comes from working that knowledge out. It's just like brain surgery, okay? Mm-hmm. Do you want a brain surgeon who's just fresh out of brain surgery in school? Because I don't know what it's called. Or do you want a guy who's been working on brains for like 20 years? Which one? They're both of them qualified, but wisdom comes with experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, When we're seeking wisdom, That's the same as when you're seeking patience. He's going to put you in positions to teach you patience.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with wisdom. You know, we're going to go through some things, you know, and until we learn, you know, is how long we'll be there, you know, to gain the wisdom that we need and the knowledge that it takes. So, you know, wisdom is not a snap of the fingers like you're going to wake up one day and know everything.
Mm-hmm.
To gain wisdom is what I've learned is to be ready and to trust the Lord, because if you're praying for wisdom, some things is going to come your way and you're going to have to figure some things out.
Mm-hmm.
And there are going to be some hard things. You know, or else if it hasn't been tested, then how's it proven? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So that's one thing I want to talk about as far as this wisdom goes. You know, this is that process of him working in you and growing you. This is the wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, ask and God gives it to you liberally, you know. Like he wants you to come to him. That's what he tells you to do. He always says, come to me for all that we do. Come to me. All you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right? All you burdened down, heavy laden?
It's the same. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Do think it's important, though, that the next verse talks about faith, because I do think when receiving wisdom, faith must be present, because it, like you said, the wisdom isn't going to grow. We're not going to grow in wisdom unless we use the wisdom and put it to the
test. Yeah.
Put it to the test.
Be doers of the
word. Walk it out. And that's what faith is, because faith is never just standing still.
Mm-hmm.
Because just saying that we have faith but not exercising it is not, it's dead faith.
Yeah.
It's faith, a dead faith. It's not dead. Living faith. And this is, even us talking about this right now, I mean, this is has been one of the hardest things for me to get. It's in my mind, it's in the head, and it's getting to the heart, but it's got to get to the feet and to the hands and get this body moving. And
it's got to start somewhere.
Yes.
You know, and as it works, it builds, you know. So like you was talking about before, we want to be at the end, but we got to go through the process.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. So,
and then it goes on to talk about after that, the wavering.
Mm-hmm.
For he that wavereth, so continues to wave,
mm-hmm.
is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And we know that the next verse says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And that's pretty serious.
Yeah, verse 8, I'll just go on. It says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So what it means here, I don't want to just say it like that, but what I believe here is that the double-minded man is unstable in his ways, you know, and let him that's unwavering, that is continuing to be wishy-washy, you know, he wants the things of God, but he don't want to do the things of God, you know, and he wants to be with the Lord, but he wants to do what he wants to do too, you know. So he's both ways, and a man cannot serve two masters, is what, you know. And this is what he's talking about here: a double-minded man is unstable in his ways, and in all his ways, you know. So he wants to serve God, but he wants to serve himself, and he's a wave. He's like, you know, he's just tossed away by. So the Lord has good things over here that he wants, but then the world has things over here that he wants. So it's like the wind, whichever way the wind blows, he's drawn to it. You know, when he sees something of the Lord, well, he runs over here for that. But then while he's over there, he sees something in his flesh, and he runs over there to that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's unstable in all of his ways, because he doesn't have the faith in the Lord.
You know, I think with this, a lot of the double-mindedness, like in believers, because I do believe that this happens in believers, I don't think that it's always running to the things of the world necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes it's wavering in constant doubt.
Yeah.
So a constant doubt of not actually believing what the Lord says. So it's like, you're trying and you are, you know, it almost falls, can fall into that striving instead of resting.
Yeah.
Because whenever you have doubt, I feel like you can't fully rest in the truth of the word. And you're constantly, you believe it, but then you really don't. Because sometimes I think we believe the word, but when we constantly are doubting it and we're wavering on it and saying, well, I don't know about that.
Well, so on the, I see what you're saying, but I think I think that's a little different here. And let me explain what I'm saying, because I think that's a normal part of the process of growing, you know, growing your faith, because, you know, I'm not saying that it's okay, but I think it's a normal part of the process that you believe what it says, but, you know, you still have, you know, you're growing in it. But what I was talking about was because this is like wanting to serve God and wanting to serve yourself, you know, and not trying to do what the Lord have to do and just failing at it at the time. You know what I'm saying? This here is just reaching and grabbing for all these different things. It's like, just like grabbing for smoke. You can see it and you go after it, but you just can't grab it, you know. And I think that's what the double-minded is. But I understand what you're saying, but I can see in my walk, you know, my understanding wasn't there, you know, but I believe I just didn't understand and you know, but it wasn't that, I guess it was doubt, but it, you know, again, that's a part of the process that he is bringing us through, you know what I'm saying, that, mm-hmm. that he's working on. So I don't want to put that on their people.
But you didn't know that. I mean, not you didn't know. I don't know why I said that. Okay. You didn't let that stop you, though.
Yes.
So my thing is when, like, I think that the things of this world that are common.
Oh, you're talking about when it's.
Yeah, when okay, it kind of stops you from you. Growing or yeah. moving forward. Because I do believe there's things in our lives that aren't as obvious as some of the other worldly things, such as worry and fear. Because those things are things that believers battle through and grow through. But it's all about, are we serving the fear and the worry? Is mm-hmm. that our comfort, or is the Lord our comfort? Because we can be battling fear, battling worry, and still keep moving in the direction of the Lord. But it's when we always go back to that fear. We always go back to that worry. We always go back to thinking the worst of everything and doubting what the Lord is telling us. Because once we have the revelation, then we're held accountable for what the revelation is. And so that's where I'm kind of getting to is I think the Lord is taking us deeper and he still has grace. And it's not saying that doubt or the fear is going to go away.
I understand. They're living in the doubt and the fear, not living in the promises of God. Yeah, I understand what you're saying now.
And
I think
that the double-mindedness can be present there in a lot of people in the body of Christ. And I think that's something that we have to get. We just have to...
don't live in it.
To not live in it, not seek that out, not let that be the thing we turn to when we go through the trials that it talks about in the beginning. And I think it kind of goes into the kingdom corner a little bit, because I think that turning to those things actually is the thing that leads us into idolatry and like the other things of the world.
I agree.
But I'm with you, Greg, though. Yeah. I do think that those things are still present a lot of times in our walk, and the Lord gives us grace as long as we're turning to him.
Yeah, just don't live in it. I see what you're saying now. Yeah, a lot of people do live in that. Yeah, and they believe what God says, but they live in their doubt and they live in their fear, even though they know what the word says, and they believe it in their minds, but they still live in the fear. I understand what you're saying now. Yeah.
And that's the sad, I think that's one of the more sad.
It's bondage. That's bondage. They're living in Egypt. Yeah. You know, that's what it is. So,
and you know, it's like when you're on the outside of it and you see somebody struggling with that, you're like, the Lord is right there. Like, he's right there wanting to pick you up, and you keep going to this. But and I think that's where the body of Christ comes in, because I believe we can really start to intercede for our brothers and sisters that are in that and speak truth and let the anointing that from the experience that we've walked with the Lord, even if we're not perfect, we're still battling.
Blood of Lamb and the
word of our testimony can break that yoke that they are in, that bondage. And so we just want to encourage anybody that's listening that may be surrounded and living in that fear and living in that worry, living in that doubt, because there is a major difference in living in it and walking with the Lord and turning to Him. And yes, those things are still there, but they're not guiding you.
Yeah, they're not controlling
you. You're fighting them, yeah. But they're not controlling you. They're not guiding you. And so today's the day. We overcomplicate it a lot of times, but all we have to do is turn to the Lord. And the more time we spend with Him, the more things are going to fall off.
Yep.
So.
Amen. Amen.
Good study this morning.
That's our breakdown.
It is. And I don't have the trivia questions. I wonder if Roger has them in there. Do you have the trivia questions, Roger? We might let Roger read off this first one before we go to break. So Thursday question number 1-270-257-2689. Get the man of the window that fell... in the window, the man that fell out of the window, yeah. When Paul preached, yeah. The name of the man, 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network, and we have an answer for that first trivia question of the morning. The question was, what was the name of the young man that fell out of the window the night Paul preached his long message? And the answer was Eutychus. Or as Roger said, actually, I can't remember what Roger said. It was some dad joke or something. Something about you shouldn't cuss or something.
Yeah, you shouldn't cuss. You shouldn't cuss.
So that's cuss. That
you
was
don't
found.
Cuss. That's what it is. You don't cuss.
That was found in Acts chapter 20, verse 9. And Miss Jerry got that.
Yeah.
So Miss Jerry's always... She comes in there. She's a faithful student of the word. We love Miss Jerry around here. So our second trivia, we'll get to that after the break. Now, we did have a few questions come in, and I think we'll get to those based off of the Bible study, and then we'll get into Kingdom Corner. So Miss Gail said, love the talk this morning. When you don't understand or agree in your own mind is when faith kicks in. You know God is right, and you believe in spite of yourself, and even though you know He is above our understanding. That's what faith is.
Amen.
Amen, amen. And then our other listener said that they completely agree with those who are believers, but they're not... they are not believing in what the Lord is doing for them and what, as a believer, what the Lord wants to do. And they asked, how can we help people who are living in that fear, living in the worry, and not, for example, an example that they gave is when praying over believers, the believers will command things to break, command those things to go, and pray that the Holy Spirit would lead and guide this person in the right direction. But then right after the prayer ends, in that next breath, so at first they're saying, I want the Lord to help me, but then in the next breath they're talking as if it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So speaking negatively in doubt. So the question is, how can we help?
Well, I mean, we just got to continue to tell them the truth, you mm-hmm. know.
The truth sets us
I
free.
Mean, you know, just every time that they they come to you, you know, tell them the truth,
mm-hmm.
and help them out, and you know, whenever the negativity comes, without argument or confrontation or anything, just reiterate what the word says, you know, mm-hmm. just and that's all we can do is let the word speak for itself. And you know, some people, they have to go through certain different processes that's not pretty to get where God wants them to be, you know. And sometimes, you know, it's this process of unbelief and worry and doubt. You know, I'm reminded of the prodigal son. You know, now he went and wasted all his worldly things and come to it, but sometimes that happens in the worry and doubt in that area, is like the prodigal son. You know, you got to get to the bottom, wherever that is, for the Lord to build you back up, you know. So, you know, it's just different things, and just trust in the Lord, you know, and again, even on our side, when we're trying to help somebody, we can't lean on our understanding either, because we don't know what God's doing in them, mm-hmm. at this time. So it may not look the way we think it needs to look. You know, they may not be saying the things that we think they should be saying,
mm-hmm.
you know, but the Lord's working, and his ways are higher than our ways. So that also goes to us when we're trying to help someone, that they may be getting what they need right now, and it's not, and we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So just trust in the Lord and continue to pray and stand in the gap for them, and just be encouraging in every opportunity that you can be. You know, but
I think consistency mm-hmm. is key, because what is an unstable person needs something stable.
Needs something stable.
I mean,
that's pretty simple. Laid out there. Yeah.
I mean, they need the Lord, but if they're not going to listen to the Lord, then they will listen maybe to brothers and sisters in Christ who have the Lord living inside of them.
Yeah.
So that's what I've noticed. And even in my own life, when I've been unstable, whenever I've had consistency, when I have had someone who is consistently praying for me, when I've had people consistently speaking life into me and living by example, it has really helped break me out of a place, that unstable place.
Yes.
And I've seen that happen with others as well, because there, I do believe that a lot of this is generational. A lot of times this is generational. And if you grow up, you know, before you had a community in the body of Christ, and you never had any discipleship or any example of what stability looks like in the Lord, it's almost muscle memory to go back to those other things.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of walking out our sanctification, and we have to get through that. It is a big hump, I think.
Yeah.
I think that doubt and worry and all that, it is a really big hump, and it might try to come back even after we break out of where we're living in it.
Yeah.
But the great thing is, like we talked about earlier, it's not going to be a controlling thing. It's going to be a battle.
Yeah.
Because we've already overcome it once, so we can definitely overcome it again. So yeah, I would say consistency and continuing to pray, like,
and mercy, have mercy on them,
yeah.
you know, and allow the Lord to work on them. And like, again, I'm going to talk about me. If things don't happen the way I think it needs to be, well, I think it's wrong a lot, you know. And that's not the way to be. This is what not to do, what I'm saying right now. But, you know, that's something that the Lord is overcoming in me as well, because, you know, it's just because it's not happening the way I think it needs to happen, you know, what is right in my eyes, that doesn't mean that's what the Lord is, you know, he could be working on these people inside,
mm-hmm.
and we can't see what is taking place on the inside of people.
Mm-hmm.
So just don't lose hope, that because God is still in control, and God, he is building us up. He is for us, and he's not against us. We may be in a dark time. We may be in a lion's den. We may be in a fiery furnace, you know, but God's still in control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may look bad all around us, you know, but just trust in the Lord and keep interceding for your friend, and just keep, every time the opportunity comes, to shine light. Speak life. Speak the word into them. Be positive. Be encouraging. And like Hannah says, if they're unstable, they need something stable. So be stable, be consistent. Don't, you know, and just trust the Lord, because he is in control.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Good conversation this morning. Really good. I love that. Love, James. So I'll get into the Kingdom Corner, and then if we can continue the conversation after the break if we need to. So I'm in this morning, Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 6 through 15. So I'm starting in verse 6. During the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, "Have you seen what fickle Israel has done? Like a wife who commits adultery, Israel has worshipped other gods on every hill and under every green tree. I thought after she has done all this, she will return to me, but she did not return. And her faithless sister Judah saw this. She saw that I divorced faithless Israel because of her adultery. But that treacherous sister Judah had no fear, and now she too has left me and given herself to prostitution. Israel treated it all so lightly. She thought nothing of committing adultery by worshipping idols made of wood and stone. So now the land has been polluted. But despite all of this, her faithless sister Judah has never sincerely returned to me. She has only pretended to be sorry. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then the Lord said to me, even faithless Israel is less guilty than the treacherous Judah. Therefore, go and give this message to Israel. This is what the Lord says. O Israel, my faithless people, come home to me again, for I am merciful. I will not be angry with you forever. Only acknowledge your guilt. Admit that you rebelled against the Lord your God and committed adultery against him by worshipping idols under every green tree. Confess that you refused to listen to my voice. I, the Lord, have spoken. Return home, you wayward children, says the Lord, for I am your master. I will bring you back to the land of Israel, one from this town and two from that family, from wherever you are scattered. And I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will guide you with knowledge and understanding. So I know that was kind of a bigger passage than I normally read for a Kingdom Corner, but it's just so good.
We got time.
So I want to go back to the beginning. And I kind of separated it even when I read it with like the rebuke, and then I separated it when the Lord started to give grace and call for them to turn and to come back to him. But I'm going to go back to the rebuke. So in the beginning, when he says, he talks about them being unfaithful. And honestly, that kind of goes back to double-mindedness mm-hmm. as well. Wavering and being unfaithful. But when he talks about Israel has worshipped other gods on every hill and under every green tree, I wanted to see, I kind of had an idea of what I thought that meant, but I wanted to go see what that meant in like Jewish language, Jewish culture. So hills, of course, I didn't really look that one up because I think that's pretty self-explanatory with the hills and the valleys, mountains and valleys. So hills would be mountaintop moments, mm-hmm. the good times, some of the best times. But then the green tree said that it symbolizes to the Jewish people life, growth, fertility, abundant blessings that God bestows upon creation. So when he's saying you worshipped other gods on every hill and under every green tree, he's saying you worshipped these idols under the very blessings that I poured out on you. Under the very blessed, you used the blessings that I poured out for you, and all of the place that I brought you to just give it all to these idols and ultimately, you know, satisfy your own flesh, your own desires. And, you know, it's honestly that I understand why the book of Jeremiah and Jeremiah himself is considered the weeping prophet, because, I mean, when you really read this and think about it, it's really sad hearing the Lord's grief and sadness in that
his love for his people,
how much he loves his people and how much he desires for his people to love him and be grateful for what he's done for them and how much he loves them. And you know, he knows all things. His ways are higher. So he knows that it's not only that they're disobeying him. I mean, that does, you know, that upsets him, that disappoints him. But it's not just that. It's that he knows that these idols have nothing in them to be able to sustain his people. Yeah. So he loves his people, and he's watching his people go to these things that are worthless and can't do anything for them. They can't protect them. They can't sustain them. They're really just destroying themselves with them. And he goes on and he's comparing Israel and Judah. So we can talk about that too.
I've got something on that. I don't want to cut you off. If you got something, I've got something on this right here.
So. Not really. Really, it's mainly it's comparing and contrasting the importance between genuine and honest repentance and then a false and fake repentance.
So this is exactly what Jesus was talking about whenever he said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, mm-hmm. but if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. You make me sick, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So he... Israel was just cold. They were gone, you know, and he was trying to woo them back. Judah, what do you say about Judah? It was even worse than what they was doing because they were there, but they were faking it.
Yeah.
And that's what being lukewarm is. You know, either you be hot or you be cold. You're either on fire or you're not, but don't fake it. You know, that's something that the Lord spoke to me a long time ago. And, that, you know, even in, whenever I took my lap through the wilderness after I was born again, you know, I never faked it. If I was cold, I didn't act like I was something that I wasn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I had a lot of cold years there for a while. But, I remember my brother Curtis, we worked together. And he'd say, I love you, man. And I wouldn't tell him. I don't know if I said this to him. And I remember one day he said, you can't say that. I said, no, man, I ain't going to lie to you. I don't. I'm not going to lie to you and say that that's what, I can't say that because I'm not, that's not who, you know, I wasn't there yet. It's hard for me to hear this. This sounds awful. You know what I'm saying? But I wasn't being mean to him. I was just being real with him, you know, and I didn't tell people that I love them if I didn't feel like I loved him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I didn't hate him or anything like that. It's just, you're a guy, and I just, you're, whatever. I didn't know what that was, you know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? I hadn't arrived yet.
You didn't know what that brotherly
love
was.
Yeah, but I just knew either you'd be hot or you'd be cold. If you're lukewarm, I'd spew you out of my mouth. So I never faked it. I was what it was, and I was just hard. That's what, I just had a heart of stone that the Lord had to, do. But forget all that. What I was trying to say was, this is what he's talking about right here, is I'd rather be hot or cold. So Israel, they just totally just, they wasn't faking it. They just left, you know. But Judah, their hearts were for the idols, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But they were showing, acting like they was for the Lord. So they was trying to disguise. They was trying to trick the Lord, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is deceitful, which is even worse, you know.
What this also reminded me of was David and Saul. Because Saul's heart was for the people.
Yeah.
And David's was for the Lord. Both sinned, they both fell short. But at the end of the day, David he was genuinely repenting for what he did, and Saul was not genuinely repenting to the Lord. He was genuinely repenting.
He's wanting to look right in front of men.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, with Judah too, there's something about, even though the people are worshiping idols, sometimes I think it's not always about the idols.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think it is about fitting into the culture and wanting to be accepted by the people.
Yeah.
Kind of like Saul, honestly.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he ended up doing things. He ended up getting into witchcraft and things like that, or listening to other voices. And I think when your eyes are not on the Lord and you want to be in, you want to jump on the bandwagon of what everybody else is doing, then it is about the idols, but it's also about being, I guess fitting in with the world.
Yeah, so Saul, you're saying Saul was like Judah.
Yes.
Yeah, he was wanting to look the part,
yep.
but just be something different. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's the lukewarm part Jesus was talking about.
And double-mindedness. Nope. talking about earlier.
Unstable in all of his ways, yeah.
Yeah. So that's good. That's really good. So we had that, but then also it talks about then the Lord. Let's talk about that part, what his response to all this.
Yeah.
So he says, you know, come home.
Yeah, he's talking about to Israel. He says, come home to me.
Come home, because he sees, he knows that there are hearts that still are, you know, that they're different.
Yeah.
Their hearts are different. Their hearts have been wooed by something else, but he knows that he is willing to forgive them if they will just...
Yeah, just admit it.
Yes.
Tell me what you've done.
Be
Come
honest.
Boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy.
Acknowledge your guilt.
Yeah.
Admit that you rebelled and committed adultery. Confess that you refused to listen to my voice. Return home. And he says that he won't be angry forever towards them. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, he won't be angry forever. People, I think it could be mistaken as he's not always going to be angry with you. No, what he's saying is he's going to forget it completely forever.
Yeah.
You know, I will not be angry with you forever. You know, if you come and repent, it's the anger is completely gone forever is what he's saying there. You know, it can be, I think that can be misinterpreted as he's not always going to be mad at you if you just come home. No, mm-hmm. he's saying come home and it's over.
Yeah.
You know, just repent, do these things, and it's as far as the east is from the west in the sea of forgetfulness forever.
See, and this I think alludes to the backslidden Christian as well, because it says return home, you wayward children. So that means they are children. They're legitimate children.
Yeah.
And I think there's things there to pay attention to, because it says, I will bring you back. So I think that this message here in Jeremiah really is for the backslidden, the ones who, and I think honestly, I mean, if we're all honest, I think most of the Lord's children have backslidden, even if it's not to a huge length of backsliding. Basically, but if
they
weren't,
did take a lap through the wilderness, that's what I call it.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, if we're not burning for the Lord, and we are not growing, we're actually declining in our walk, then that, I mean, we have to be honest with ourselves that we're backsliding.
Yeah.
And so, but I love that we see here that, you know, the backslider, the Lord's not done. The Lord's not done with you. Like, he hasn't just casted you to the side. If you still have breath in your lungs, he's still drawing you.
Yeah.
He's still speaking to you. He's just calling you home. He is waiting for you to return.
And this is another meaning of this, is greater is he that is in me than in he that is in the world. So you may be slid back, but the Lord is still in you, and he is greater than that is in the world. You may find yourself in this place, but the Lord is still drawing you. If you just turn to him, he's there drawing you always. But
and the verse...
It is 802.
Oh, it is. Yeah, we got to go. But I want to read this verse before we read the second trivia. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. So humility was another key that I wanted to focus on. And we might be able to touch this when we come back. On the humility part.
Yep.
So, second trivia question of the day. What did Elisha pour into the pottage to heal it? What did Elisha pour into the pottage to heal it? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here after that break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio, and we have an answer for that trivia. We have a winner for that trivia question and answer. So the question was, what did Elisha pour into the pottage to heal it? And it was...
Pepto-Bismol.
Not just kidding. Pepto-Bismol. Meal is what it said. Meal. So yeah. 2 Kings 4:41, and Gary Cox got that. So we got a Jerry and a Gary this morning.
He said he threw a little cornbread in there.
Yeah, yeah, cornbread. I wonder if he had milk in there. Milk and cornbread.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're just moving along this morning. We have both the answers. Now, we did have, we could give out our one from yesterday because we did not get an answer for that. So we might do that after this break. How many total barrels of water did Elijah have poured on the sacrifice at Carmel? How many total barrels of water did Elijah have poured on
I'll give,
the sacrifice?
I'll give you a hint. All of them.
Hey, that's Greg giving the hint, not me.
Yeah, he poured them all on there. All of them.
Well.
So back to the Your Kingdom Corner, we's wanting to discuss humble.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was something that I had noted in everything that the Lord had spoken here to Israel. Come home to me again, for I'm merciful. He says, acknowledge your guilt. Admit that you've rebelled. Confess that you refuse to listen. Return home. So all of these things that he is calling them to do, calling them to action, I see humility in all of those, because you have to have humility, at least some level of humility. We're always growing, but yeah, we have to be able to humble ourselves to do those things, to acknowledge our own guilt, to admit that we've rebelled, to admit yeah, things, to confess that we refused to listen, that we disobeyed. And that's just something that I noted, because...
what does God resist?
The proud.
The proud.
Yeah. And you know, when we confess our sins before the Lord, and we pair that humility with faith, I believe that that moves God to action. I do. And it's not that he needs anyone to be moved to action, but he can't be in the present. Like, sin separates us, you know, and a heart that's pure, hands that are clean, God loves it. And he can work with that. He can use that. He can, and that's ultimately he wants to be able to work through his children and be able to bless. But he can't bless a mess. He can't he can't just pour out blessings on sin.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good father. You know, yeah. Was it Jesus, his words that said, I can't remember the scripture, but he said, you know, if a father wants to give good gifts to his children, how much more does your yeah, heavenly father would want to give?
Yeah. It says you wouldn't ask for a bread and give him a stone.
Yes.
Or something and give him a serpent or whatever it was. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
And, you know, that's the Lord. Like, he wants the best of the best for his children. And so I just love that. And, you know, the verse of, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. That's the first thing that verse says. And then the result of that is he'll forgive sins and he will restore.
Yeah.
And that's what he was saying in this, is he wants to forgive and he wants to restore. He wants the relationship to be restored. And that's what's so awesome about this, is like, it's all because he misses the communion with them. He wants communion. He wants a close relationship, even with the very people who are completely turning their backs against him, because he loves. And I just love the Holy Spirit, how all of the Bible just builds on top of each other, on top of the word that we've studied. Because in our Wednesday nights, if anybody wants to go back and listen to those, we're studying the attributes of God right now. So the first one was his holiness on Wednesday nights. And then the second one that we talked about yesterday was his love. And a lot of these conversations about his unconditional love and his desire to have communion with us, and to be close to him, even despite all of the things that we've done. But yeah. He created us, and he desires and longs for that oneness with us and the communion. We talked about that with the attribute of love. So that will be back on the podcast too. But anyways, I really liked this, and he lays it out for us what it takes to come back to him.
Yeah, so. This goes back to, you know, what I was talking about. Come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. So don't be afraid. You know, a lot of people, you know, it's, whether it's pride or they're just afraid, you know, that you can't get, that you've done too much, you know. It says, don't be afraid of me. I already know what you've done. Just tell me, you know, and obtain mercy, you know. And it says right here, forever. I'll forget it forever. And, it, you know, that's the sea of forgetfulness. It's cast as far as the east is from the west. You know, that's what he does. He doesn't, you know, when we humble ourselves and we admit our sin and we give it to him, and when we come without anything, we just come there guilty and just admit it and give it to him, and he takes it and he throws it away and he cleans us up, you know. That's what he does. So
and I think, you know, we have to learn and be willing to submit to him.
Yeah, I think it's a growing process too. You know, it's part of the,
when you do it, then you learn to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, we got an answer. Awesome. We got an answer. Well, maybe got an answer. I think Roger's checking it, make sure it's right. But when it comes back to that, the submitting, I think, is really key, because, you know, you think about whenever...
You can keep that, I think, now, Roger, if you want to.
Whenever...
You can keep that if you wanted to.
Whenever you know, the Lord is speaking to you and you're walking with him, you know, the opposite of submitting to him is trying to be your own God.
Yeah,
really.
You know, and let's talk about, when we started this, we're talking about the wisdom from James. So in this thing, so what you're talking about, we walk in our own ways and this and that. And also in Jeremiah, it says, I know the plans I have for you for an expected end. We talked about this at men's Bible study. I can't remember. I've talked about this a lot, actually, here this week. It's funny. But anyways, but he has an expected end for you, you know, of peace and this. And it says, it talks about, I will deliver you from the places which I have driven you. So sometimes he allows us to go into these places our own way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he's there with us the whole time, because he's allowing us to go through these things and experience these things to gain the wisdom.
Yeah.
To learn the experience of what, you know, what better way to learn than to have a victory over a battle, you know?
Yeah.
And that's so.
And that goes back to, you know, when we're his legitimate children, his hand's on us.
Yeah.
His hand doesn't just get taken off of us.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it, is even if we do stray, even if we do our own thing, he's going to use it for our good.
Yeah, he's allowing us to experience this because he's growing us in this. You know, he is just like, you know, a weightlifter lifts weights. you know, the heavier the weight, the stronger the lifter gets. So,
yeah.
You got something there.
Oh, we got Jeremy Stone. He got that right. Awesome. So that question was, how many total barrels of water did Elijah have poured on the sacrifice at Carmel? And the answer was 12.
So that means I was right. He poured them all.
In 1 Kings 18.
Yeah.
So, Jeremy Stone. So yeah, good conversation. I love Jeremiah. I'm starting to just love the book of Jeremiah more and more. So,
yeah.
Good stuff. The Lord is good. So we do have a few. Did you have any Bible questions, Greg? We had a few left over from Monday.
No, I'm always excited for Bible questions. It seems like whenever I'm not here, there's all kinds of Bible questions, and then whenever I'm here, we have guests or we have something I don't get to eat. So
yeah,
that'd be good. I like them.
Yeah, I think we actually have quite a few. So we talked about true worship. We answered that one, Mark 5:6. So, and then let's see. We talked about amillennials or all millennials, however you say it. So we have three left. We talked about the musical instruments as well. So we only have two, and they're both scriptures. So right up our alley here.
Right.
Okay. So first one that we can do is explain Matthew 15:21-28.
All right.
So
what page is that on? Did they tell us?
They didn't tell
us. Oh, man. Make it hard on us.
Right. They did not tell us. Matthew 15:21-28. So, don't you just, listeners, chime in if you like the sound of Bible pages flipping.
I was thinking the same thing. Oh, man.
I do. I think it was Miss Gretchen who said that there was a church she went to, and it was a really big church, and everybody was flipping their pages, and it sounded like rain or something.
Oh, I bet.
Because
yeah.
All the different pages,
wow,
in the whole place.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Okay, so 15:21-28. You want to read that, Greg?
Sure. And this is the faith of a Gentile woman. Is what the heading of this little section is in my Bible. And verse 21 says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to make the children's bread and cast it to the two dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." So, this one here, I mean, it's in the flesh, in our carnal minds, this is awful. You know, it's like, how can Jesus be so just this standoffish to this person? You know, this is out of his character in our carnal minds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe Jesus was, making a demonstration here, you know, and what he was doing was he was allowing his disciples the faith to be shown in this woman,
mm-hmm,
by not saying anything to her at first, but her persistence kept coming at, you know, and because how quick were they to see all of his miracles day in and day out, and then every little trial come up, they just wither and just fade away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they, but this woman right here with her daughter, you know, with the devils, and she knew that the Lord can save her, and she believed in her heart, she purposed in her heart to go to him,
mm-hmm,
and she knew he could do it. She believed it. That is the faith, to the just that knowing, and she proved it by even whenever he said it's not meat for her to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. So, you know, they considered the Samaritans and anybody that wasn't a Jew,
any
Gentile to be as a dog, you know, and she answered, even the dogs eat from the crumb of their master's table. So she even acknowledged her master,
mm-hmm,
Jesus.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
That's the highlight of her faith there, yeah. and that statement of,
I know who you are.
Yes, I know who you are, and I believe.
And I believe.
And that faith really yeah. did. It touched Jesus. Yeah. And, you know, my study notes, I didn't really think about this, but my study notes do say, and you can see what you think on this, Greg, that the Jesus's attitude towards her in not immediately healing, not immediately, you know, what you were talking about, basically. It says, it was intended to test the woman's faith, which yeah. was rewarded by a miraculous healing. So it's the idea of he withholded, he didn't just immediately do it. He was testing out yeah. her faith.
Well, and I see that there, but I feel like it was more for his disciples to learn from.
Oh yeah.
Than the woman.
Even more her.
Because I believe he knew, mm-hmm. you know, he knew her heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? As she come up there,
well,
and I believe he was making a point to his disciples, teaching them what faith actually looks like.
I think the word test, though, too, yep. even if, you know, him already knowing it, sometimes a test isn't to
solidify,
to prove anything on yep. her part, but the test is to be an outward testimony to the testimony.
Yes.
To yeah. the people, like what you're saying with
yeah.
the disciples.
Yeah, that's the way I see it there.
Yeah.
I think it was more for the disciples to yeah. learn, because the woman already knew.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you wasn't going to tell her any different.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, like, she was made up. Her mind was made up. There wasn't a test for her. She knew, you know,
yeah,
her from this or scripture.
I don't think the test there that yeah. in the study notes even yeah. is would be talking about like her earning anything
yeah.
or proving herself, because I think
yeah.
she'd already proved
yeah,
that, like, had already been proved.
Mine's made up.
But it is awesome that, you know, the test of yeah. a testimony was there, because the disciples, they struggled. I mean, we see throughout that they struggled with the way that Jesus treated the children,
mm-hmm.
the way he treated the Gentiles. I mean, they were, and I mean, it's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they knew.
Yeah.
And you know, Jesus was, you know, merciful with them. He was patient with teaching them these things. But it's just really a cool picture here
yeah.
to see her faith, and to see and then, you know, my study notes also say that you know, she knew what could be hers even as a Gentile, and then became an illustration of millions of Gentiles who would later be blessed by Israel's Messiah. And we, I mean, we're Gentiles. I mean, the stories of the Gentiles in the gospel should mean a lot to us.
Yeah.
Because it is an illustration that he's our master. Like, you know, we were grafted in.
Yeah.
And it's just a whole, it's so prophetic. It's so prophetic. But yeah, I think, do you have anything else on that, Greg?
I think I've touched everything I can think of.
I forget about that story sometimes, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
It's kind of a short little
yeah
section there, but it's so powerful.
Yeah,
it is. So that's good. We are almost at break here, but why don't we go ahead and go to break a little early? So then when we come back, we can go to the next question.
That sounds good to me.
So we have all our trivia answered. So we're right on track for tomorrow. And we will be back here on our last little segment on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right. We are back here on this last portion of the broadcast this morning. Thank you, listeners, for just tuning in, answering those trivia questions, and just hanging in here with us, learning, growing together. If you all have any other comments on this next question, please feel free to chime in. You can text me again at 270-589-7933. And our next Bible question is 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, if anyone wants to turn there, or you might have it memorized. Brother Denny's listening, I bet he has it memorized. I I bet he knows what it is. So we can go there. The like subheading of this is honor of the elders. So verse 22 reads, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. And so it is talking about the elders here. So do you have anything on that, Greg, before we...
Well, it's, you know, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep mm-hmm. thyself pure. So I guess we need to get some context here. You know, that's mm-hmm. just one verse in the middle of a lot. So let's see. I guess let's go... let's just start at verse 18. Let's back up and just see if we can get a good hold on what's being talked about. What do you think?
Can we start at 17?
Yeah.
That's where mine starts, like, with this section.
Okay.
So it says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure.
So, well, right there, it goes on and starts to list some more things, but we got up to that point. So, what is coming to me in this is lay hands on suddenly on no man is to, like they did Jesus. You know, they laid hands on him. In their own minds, they accused him and charged him and took him, you know. And I think this is what he's talking about here. He's talking about being justful in our decisions, you know, and talking about the elders of the church and, you know, whether or not to lay hands on people. I know some people wants to talk about laying hands and praying, you know, and I think they use this to not be quick to lay hands and pray, which I think, but I don't think that
that's what,
yeah, I believe they're talking about actually physically grabbing or, you know, fighting or whatever, you know, whatever that is, whatever that looks like.
I actually think that the context of this, I agree with my study notes here,
okay,
of what my study notes say. And that is when they're talking about laying hands suddenly, that he, in this context, he's referring to when they ordain other elders. So when, you know, when,
okay,
when an elder gets ordained to become, okay, an elder,
yeah,
and it's saying that be cautious of quickly ordaining a man as an elder. Otherwise, when you quickly ordain someone and they actually have all of these hidden sins, because it talks about the open sins,
yeah,
then Timothy would actually be a partaker of the unqualified elder's sin if he acts irresponsibly in office.
Okay.
So Timothy can, as an elder, can keep himself pure by not putting such men into office prematurely.
Okay, I can see that too. And I guess what I can see that too, as laying hands as anointing into mm-hmm. an office, yeah. And where I was at in, you know, in my head was like, when they're arrested, neither be partaker of other men's sin, keep thyself pure, means don't follow into the crowd when somebody's falsely accusing somebody. Don't just take their word for it,
uh-huh,
and jump on the bandwagon and throw stones. You know,
oh, yeah. I think that's definitely true.
Yeah. And that's the way that
in the word.
Yeah. That's the way that I interpreted it there. I didn't think about the, you know, what you're saying
the
there.
Context,
yeah,
there.
Well, the ordaining, mm-hmm, you know, I didn't.
Yeah, and it,
that
it
didn't come to me.
It talks about the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that otherwise cannot be hid. So I think it's also saying that, you know the verse, be sure your sin will find you out.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe it's saying that some, their sins will be open and easy to recognize. But others, if you do not recognize their sin will become open. Or as my notes say, what verse is that? That's 25. They will catch up to them, basically. They will follow after.
Yeah.
And so I think this is important because it's really talking to, I like how my notes say not putting such men into office prematurely, because it kind of goes back to what you're saying. We can't count somebody out forever just because they've done something, but there is a perfect timing of the Lord, and there is a standard of holiness when stepping into an office of an elder, and there's, you know, qualifications there that it talked about. Give double honor to the ones that labor in the word and doctrine and that are living out that. And, you know, we see even with Paul, look at Paul. He didn't immediately, he had time that he was growing in the Lord before he was actually in that office of authority. And then we see even with Jesus, I mean, he's the standard. Like, he's the one, but he still had time of preparation before he was released. And So I do think that's important to pay attention to here.
Well, verse 19, I guess, is why it put me in the reason I'm thinking what I'm thinking is because against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. So, I feel like, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before, it's like they're telling them how to conduct a trial, basically. Uh-huh. Here, this is the way that I'm interpreting this. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. So even if this guy's a prominent guy and he's sinning, call it out. Don't hide it just because he's got a good name.
Yeah.
That's what I see here.
Uh-huh.
And then it says in verse 22, it says, lay hands suddenly on no man. So regardless whether you see it, don't just go and grab him right there. You know, this is why I see it this way, and neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. So even if the crowd says this man deserves this,
mm-hmm.
do not follow the crowd.
Yeah.
Is what.
And I think what you're saying actually applies to not ordaining somebody quickly, because there could be men wanting a person to be ordained as an elder just because they like them, just because they are partial.
Yeah, so it can
to
be
them.
Either ordaining or condemning them, but either way. So it could go. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, I could go both ways on that.
And either way,
you're condemning them or you're lifting them up.
Yes.
Don't, yeah.
And
okay.
Either way could be very harmful to the body.
Yeah.
And to the people that they're leading, because when there is sin in the camp, when there is, not right order, then it's going to be an open door to chaos in the camp.
Yeah. And that would go both ways, even if you ordained a guy that just because everybody liked him, or you're condemning a guy because everybody don't like him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's the same.
Yes.
Yeah, both ways. Which I agree with you.
And I like that. I do like that, Greg, because I do think that pulls out, or that points out another side of it.
Yeah.
That we should also be mindful of, because it's not just about ordaining. It's about seeking
condemning
the Lord before someone is
condemned.
And I'm thankful that, you know, the word gives us clear outline for this. Like, it gives us, it says, you know, what we should do before two or three witnesses.
Yeah.
And I do believe that the Lord, I mean, that we should take this seriously. Like, I think the Lord, when it comes to these things in leadership, like, the Lord really wants us to do the outline that he's laying out for us to do.
Yeah.
And I think that when we start doing that, that we're actually going to we're not going to have to battle as many, we're not going to have as much warfare as churches normally have when going through these things.
Yeah.
If we follow the outline of what the Word's telling us to do, because when things are in His order, they're always going to go smoother. Not that it's going to be easy, but I do think that.
Yep.
But I do think this scripture gets misquoted a lot, or misinterpreted. That's the word.
Yep.
Because I don't, I mean, do you see anywhere else, Greg, where it would talk about not laying hands in prayer for people?
No, I don't, you know, like I said, you know, I think this is just talking about a procedure. Like I said, I thought, for me, it seemed like it was a trial for, you know, how to go conduct a trial. And the way your study notes is it's a way to conduct, say, an interview, which both you're weighing the options to mm-hmm. see whether this guy is worthy of either
the position
of guilty or the position of an elder. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's both sides of that coin right there. And I've always just, and I guess because verse 19, I say always. I'm looking at this right here for the first time. I've never processed this. I'm processing this live.
Mm-hmm.
So verse 19 is what it says, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. So that's why it set me in the mindset of a trial.
Mm-hmm.
But again, an accusation could be a good, I've seen this guy, he does this, and he's a good, you know, so that's an accusation as well. But mm-hmm. I just, you know, when I hear the word accusation, I'm assuming a trial, or, you know, they did this and mm-hmm. or what have you. So,
and I think that's why it says do not suddenly, because a lot of times it takes time. It takes a season for things to be able to be exposed.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going to put forth their best, their best foot forward.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and it takes time for that. And that even goes with anything. It goes with anything that the Lord's calling us to. A position of entering into a marriage, being a wife, being a husband.
Yeah.
I do believe that there should be a season of prayer and letting things be exposed in both persons' hearts before just jumping into it.
Yeah.
I think that that's wisdom, and I think the Word would support that in a lot of different scriptures. But can we go back for the rest of the time and talk about, because I do think that that's something that a lot of people get tripped up on, is they're afraid to lay hands on people to pray for them.
Well, I don't know. I think everybody is different. You know, everybody has different callings, you know, and you know, for people to lay hands on people is good, you know, and and whether it's a necessary or not, it depends on if the Lord's asking you to do it or not, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a necessary blanket that everybody must do that in order for it to be effective. That's not way up, you know.
Yeah.
But I believe if the Lord asks you to go lay hands on somebody, then it's very it is very necessary, or else you're disobeying the Lord. You know, so we have prayer, and sometimes, you know, most of the time I pray from my seat. Everybody goes up and lays hands, and I pray from my seat. But then there's sometimes the Lord says go and lay hands, and that's mm-hmm. what I do, you know. I'll go lay hands. But am I wrong in not going when everybody else goes? I don't believe I am, because I'm praying. You know, I'm praying that God will move in this situation, you know.
I think that's the most important part. And I think the Lord, He's not going to be upset with us for asking Him and making sure that's what He wants us to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, you know, I think the suddenly that it's talking about in this verse, I don't think it's just a few hours waiting. I think it's saying, like, take a good amount of time to pray about this before you do this, before you make this decision. And I don't really think that that's always the same for praying for people, because it might be where someone's life is on the line.
Yeah, I don't think that this here, this this scripture, I don't think is at all in any way talking about praying,
because
laying hands
actually,
and praying for somebody. I don't believe that this has anything to do with that.
Yeah. And an example for that, when we bringing the conversation to prayer, I just went to on my phone Bible to the story of Ananias, the one who the Lord gave him a vision to lay hands on Paul,
mm-hmm.
And that he would be healed. And the Lord gave him the vision, and he called him and said his name, Ananias. And then he said, the Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. And then Ananias answered, but Lord, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things that this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he is authorized by leading the priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. And the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias ended up obeying. And I mean, that's powerful there, because,
yeah,
you know, it goes back to what it talks about by not being a, what is the word that he uses here? Basically not being a respecter of persons.
Yeah.
Not showing partiality.
Yeah. Well, and another thing gets me is God knows even when it looks bad to us. Like, whoa, God, you want me to go over and do that? Like, do you sure you know what's going on here? Like, we question God, you know, and he is patient with us, you know, and just like Ananias, he said, yes, go there. I know this guy. Yeah, he's praying to me now. So, yeah, it's funny how just we're just how small we are and how big God is, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's good. He is good.
And, you know, I hadn't thought about this part either. I mean, I love this story. I absolutely love the story of how Paul is praying and then the Lord speaks, because, you know, the Lord could have just answered Paul, but he wants to build his faith. He wants to build both of their faith and show him that he is speaking and using his other servant for a reason. But
it's confirmation.
Confirmation,
yeah,
yes, exactly.
Confirmation.
And building up their faith. But also, I really hadn't paid attention to the part where he said, where the Lord said, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.
Yeah, I remember that because, whenever he goes there, he tells Paul, you know, of course, Paul already knows because he told Paul the same thing, and they just confirmed each other. And you know, what gets me is, you know, talking about, we look at this, or Saul, you know, and we thinking about him and the Lord working on him, and we kind of overlook Ananias.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ananias is a believer, and then, you know, he hears the voice of God tell him to go and do something. So how much stronger is his faith now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's already had a good faith to hear the voice of the Lord already.
Yeah.
But then to go and do, you know, go confront a man that was there to kill him,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to arrest him and do all the things and God sent him to go tell him, man, this.
Yeah. And I think I see both when I've read this, because I think the fact that Ananias was struggling.
Yeah.
That the Lord knew that he wanted to use him for this task specifically to help him overcome that struggle that he was having in the way he was viewing Saul,
there
to
you
help
go.
Him
yeah.
be able to see him through God's eyes.
Instead
yeah,
teach of, him forgiveness and
yeah.
mercy. Yeah.
And then also grow his faith, because after this, yeah. I mean, the Lord chose Ananias to play a huge part in Saul's life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge part in setting the path for Saul's ministry.
Yeah.
And so I love that, you know, one waters, one plants the seed. Like, we're all, the Lord gets the increase, and we all get to be in on that.
Yeah.
We all get to reap that reward, because when we're obedient, we're doing our part. Even if, you know, people might look at Ananias and think, you know, well, he didn't do he didn't carry the message to the Gentiles like Paul did or whatever, but he did what he was told to do, and he's still going to receive those. He's receiving that reward. The Lord is pleased with him for obeying.
Yeah, and what I see is leaning not on your own understanding here. You know, because in his mind, what he said, Lord, are you sure? You know, because he's sent here to do all these bad things, you know. Are you? Because this is not, you know, in his mind, it did not look like that's what he needed to do. But God knows, you know, what we don't know. And he sees what we don't see. And that's why we should trust him always, you know.
Yeah. You know, another part of this is like, you know how the Lord, he knows all things already.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny when we try to tell God something as if it's the first time he's heard it.
Yeah.
Like when Ananias says, Lord, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to believers in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And he's authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. It's like we think God forgets or something.
Yeah, it's like, hey, are you sure? Like do you know this guy?
Like that God doesn't know about what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny to me reading it. And, you know, I'm not passing judgment because we do the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like we do the same thing to the Lord, and sometimes we act like we know more than he does.
Like how many times we sit at church or somewhere in a store or whatever, and we get that nudge, hey, go say this to that person, you know, and how many times that we don't do it, you know, or how many times we do it, you know, depending on, you know, people does respond. And then of course we've all had the times where we didn't, you know, and I mean, it's the same thing, you know. We just got to trust the voice. It says, my sheep hear my voice. And we just got to trust that voice, you know, that when he's telling us, he's already got it. He's got it purposed.
Yeah.
And his purpose will be fulfilled. And he's just asking us to do what he's asking us to do because he's already got it ready for us to receive whatever that is. So
amen.
Always trust the Lord that he's good and he's ready.
Yeah. And honestly, the reason I went into this scripture, which we have like a few minutes left before the end of the broadcast this morning, but I'm trying to go back to what brought me to this scripture. I believe it was laying hands. So actually, the Lord had told him to go lay hands. That was his instruction to him, was to go lay hands on Saul. Well, Paul. Well, Saul turned to Paul.
Yeah, Saul.
But he was to go lay hands on him. So my point in finding this scripture, and it has so much, I'm glad we got into it because it's a great story. But to not think just because of this scripture in Timothy that you can't act on what the Lord's leading you to do. Because, I mean, imagine if an Ananias didn't act on this and waited too long, and then God raised up somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes if we wait too long to go and pray for someone or go and give someone that word, go and lay hands on somebody, if the Lord's telling us to, then he's going to have to raise up somebody else to do it.
But you know, and another thing too, in that instance, because God is not wasteful, you know, and he may draw you to do something and you may not do it, but then you see the thing that he asked you to do, somebody else do, you know. Well, that works on you. You know, that's a building block. That's another block on your wall that's building you up. Hey, the next time this happens, I'm going to do. You know.
Yes.
So, don't fall into condemnation.
Yes. Don't let it stop you from doing it again.
Yeah. Don't fall into condemnation. Just say, okay, Lord, lesson learned. Okay, I'm going to do. You know, when you let me know, I'm going to do. And just keep pressing forward. You know, we're gonna mess up, you know, but that doesn't mean that the mistakes are our building blocks of our wisdom.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So don't continue in your mistakes. That's not what I'm saying. But if we make a mistake, learn from that mistake. It's valuable. It's a valuable learning lesson to move you forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one less thing you don't have to wonder about. You know, because you made the mistake.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? So put that in your book of knowledge and build your and grow in your wisdom. So,
and I do think that the Lord even uses our own jealousy,
mm-hmm.
because he even talks about the Gentile church will provoke the Israel to jealousy. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. When we see somebody else raised up to do the thing we were supposed to do, I do believe the Lord will use that jealousy of, oh, I want to be used for that.
Yeah.
So he'll use that human thing to push us to actually...
to motivate us to
do it.
To do his
and
will.
And want to be used by him and desire that.
You know why? Because it's God that works in you both to do and to will of his good pleasure. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Amen. Yeah. Well, we are wrapping it up here. We are out of time this morning. Thank you, Greg, for coming in. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us and speaking to us and feeding us. And thank you, listeners, for chiming in. We love you guys. We will be back here 7 a.m. Central Time on Mornings of the Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
The Box 2 Radio Network, WBFI, 91.5 FM McDaniels Litchfield, 98.3 FM Owensboro, 91.1 FM Hinesville Glasgow, and around the world online at box2radio.com. We are the Box 2 Radio Network, elevated talk and inspired music.